Hello, welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching brought to you by the Ministry of the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. My wife and I, Victoria, we opened up this car washing business so that we can bring these verse by verse Bible teachings to you. If you would like information about the business or the ministry, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Well, let's get back into our verse by verse Bible teaching. Glad that you joined us. And if you've been following along or even coming back to these teachings, we're in constant prayer that these words will edify your life. They will challenge you, and because we know that the Word of God has power, and when it is preached in all of its fullness, verse by verse, we don't leave anything out, and it gives God the opportunity to speak directly into our lives with everything that He intended for us to hear through His Word. And so, getting back into the book of Ecclesiastes, written by the wise son of David, Solomon, we're going to be picking it up in chapter 3. We finished chapter 2 last time, and you can get all of these archived messages again by going to the washandword.com website and clicking on the media tab. They're free for download and free to listen to. Our motto is to settle the Word of God and not peddle it, so we never charge for that. In fact, the car wash exists so that we can earn the money to keep these teachings going through the radio program, which is WMCH 1260 AM in the Churchill area. We air them Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And we also air them at 107.1 FM in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. So they play on a loop throughout the day while we're open. And we invite you to just drive by the parking lot and hear these messages. All right. So I want to begin with a little anecdote today. The man who obviously received some bad reports from his doctor calls his wife in to speak to her alone. And he says to the man's wife, "It doesn't look good for your husband, ma'am. In fact, if he doesn't get solid bed rest, if you don't cook for him and wait on him hand and foot, if you don't allow him to do any work, and if you don't get him upset and certainly don't disagree with him to raise up his blood pressure, and you speak nothing but kind words, I'm afraid his heart is going to stop and he is going to die." Unmoved, the woman walks out to her anxious awaiting husband, who says, "Well, what did he say?" And the woman replied, "Sorry, hon, you're going to die." Now, that's a cute anecdote to an otherwise difficult topic. In fact, if I were to start today by saying to you, "Hey, the good news at the beginning of this message is you one day are going to die." I mean, let's face it, nobody wants to talk about death, especially their own mortality. But the fact is, it is a fact that we all must face at one point or another. But in our quest for, I guess the best word would be grappling with the concept of our imminent death, we, in the meantime, are called to endure. And Solomon's focus, at least in chapter 3, is probably his most godly-centered chapter so far. And as we dissect these first 15 verses in chapter 3, we're going to uncover little increments, little slices of life. And like a pie, it is meant to be enjoyed and to be embraced one piece at a time. Because like a pie, if you eat the entire thing at once, as delicious as a pie is, you're going to end up feeling really pretty disgusting and bloated, and it's just too much. We don't eat a pie all at once. We eat it slice at a time. And that's how we're going to look at this first 15 verses of this chapter, slice at a time. Now, there's an interesting phrase in verse 11 that we may or may not get to today, and that is the phrase that he says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. There was a book that came out many years ago entitled Eternity in Their Hearts, and it's basically the exploration of the imminent conclusion that every one of us is going to have, and that is that there's death. But death is not the end. Death, in fact, because God has put eternity in our hearts, is something that we could look forward to in one respect and not fear. God has placed eternity in our hearts. Every one of us has a longing and one eye pointed towards eternity. And this key verse can also be the title of today's message, which I don't typically do, but if I had to title today's sermon, it would be Eternity in Their Hearts. And the reason is because this one phrase, if you stack it up against pretty much anything else found within the book of Ecclesiastes, well, it's the kryptonite to an otherwise potentially depressing and fatally wounding book. In other words, as you read this book, Ecclesiastes, it would be easy to be depressed when you think about the way he's come to these conclusions and what the end result of all these searchings are. It's a depressing book if you don't combat that with the words, eternity in our hearts. Because there is an end result that results in the beginning. And so I was thinking the other day about the ramifications of this ever-constant searching or meaning for life. And we've all had it. Some of us, maybe just in passing, we think about the meaning of life. Some of us dwell much of our time thinking of this one thing. But like a mushroom cloud, have you ever seen, like on TV, the video of testing of an atom bomb or a nuclear bomb? And there's the initial explosion, and then there's the mushroom cloud. But as you continue watching, this mushroom cloud just begins to rise, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes the thoughts of the meaning of life just keep expanding with never an answer in conclusion to our search, and it can become frustrating, but not when we attach the words eternity in our hearts. It's the kryptonite to an otherwise depressing book. And so I began to realize that virtually all of life is based upon this quest for meaning. In fact, you think about the commercials, they're all telling us what it will take to make us feel better, and if by buying their products we're going to enhance our way of life. Ads about travel to get away from what can only be described as your boring, mundane, monotonous life. Medical fields designed specifically to improve who you are physically, mentally, and even spiritually. Drugs to get you up, drugs to get you down, drugs to just get you out. And the world continues to search in search of, well, there's no real answer to that question, but the one statement is true. The world continues to search in search of. In fact, Leonard Nimoy did a TV series not too many years ago. If you remember, it was called In Search Of. And that is the ever-present quest of mankind, constantly searching for something, some type of meaning. And for everything we search for, the world continues to turn, turn, turn. And for everything chased after, turn, turn, turn. For every season, turn, turn, turn. And for every purpose, turn, turn, turn. And some of you know that I'm beginning to sound like the old 60s song. But while it is true that money makes the world go round, without this quest for pleasures in life, literally billions of dollars daily would not be spent. And so we began this book by telling you it is largely a book of opposites, that we learn what to do by learning what not to do. And that's what makes Ecclesiastes so much different. But chapter 3 especially exemplifies this learning as learning in opposites. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build." Now let's stop right there. Have you ever done something at a very inappropriate time? I certainly have. I have often used jokes and humor. God has kind of given me a gift of humor. Of course, the jokes I tell in my messages don't necessarily convey that, but a lot of times I use jokes and humor to help process things and try to ease the burdens or tensions that are in the room. But it turns out not all people feel that way. And I have used some humor or some jokes or said some things that I thought would be helpful, and turns out they were very inappropriate for the time at hand. I'm not going to give you any examples lest you think less of me. But the point that Solomon is trying to make here is that there is an appropriate time for everything. The problem? Well, most of us don't like change, do we? I mean, as soon as we finally get used to something, what happens? It changes. And we try so desperately to hold on to the things that we took so long to attain. But like seasons, when the leaves begin to turn, the winter clothes comes out. And this is a physical approach to life. No one asks to be born, and nobody picks their time to die, for that matter. But there is such a time for both of these things. As Solomon said, a time to be born, a time to die. He said there's a time to plant, a time to uproot. Well, seasons dictate crops. We don't plant in the winter. Food keeps us alive. So we have to follow the seasons to plant our foods so that we can continue to survive. If we plant out of season, we receive no crop. And that could easily pertain to many times in our lives where we try to plant our wills where God is saying, hey, it's still winter. Don't try to plant your seed here or now, yet we do anyway. And what happens to that seed? It never takes root. Then he goes on to say there's a time to kill and a time to heal. Well, that's a little more abrupt, isn't it? A time to kill? Well, maybe he's not talking about killing with your hands, the literal act of murdering. But I believe he's talking somewhere along the lines of the third law of thermodynamics, that everything has a point of entropy, that things have a time, like it or not, to die or kill in some respects. When a person, for instance, reaps their harvest, they're killing those plants. Even Jesus said a seed must die for it to reproduce or to grow itself. And even in our body, cells die every year. Every 7 years, scientists say our cells are being replaced within our body. And brain cells die and are being replaced. And brain cells, what was I saying again? I'm just kidding. But brain cells die and are replaced. And because the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, they are once again reproduced exactly the same. But there is still a time for them to die, nonetheless. And sometimes we have to kill. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, sometimes killing doesn't necessarily mean physical. Sometimes we have to kill certain thinking processes that we've been grown to accustom to doing. Sometimes we have to kill a bad habit or kill a bad attitude. For those of you with teenagers, sometimes we have to kill the teenager. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is that there's a time for these things. He says there's a time to tear down and a time to build up. And based on the context of what we've read so far, he's talking physiologically, of course. But even as a young man or a young woman, we build up certain things like muscle mass and strength. Even as we go to school, we begin to build up knowledge. And as we age, what happens to those muscle masses and even that knowledge? They begin to what? They start to diminish, don't they? There's a time to build up, even in our growth process as a human being. And there's a time to tear down as we get older and these things begin to diminish. Our sight begins to diminish. Our hearing begins to go down. And I've just turned 50 and I'm starting to feel the effects of what Solomon was talking about when he says there's a time to tear down. But there's also a time to tear down in a spiritual sense where we think about the good kings of Israel, how they would often tear down the altars that were set up to idols. And sometimes there's idols in our lives that we have to tear down. But whether we could look at examples at each one of these verses or each slice of this pie, and we could come up with lots of different examples. But what Solomon is saying here is that there is a purpose and a time for everything that you are enduring. And Christian or non-believer, if you're listening to these words and you're going through something today, remember that mourning may last for a night, or weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is a season that we're going through. Right now, this is a season of life, and you to embrace it. That is the most important thing. You are to learn from it, and you are, above all, listen to me, give God glory for everything that's going on in your life. Well, that's all the time we have for this sermon. We'll pick it up again tomorrow in our next message. We encourage you to join us or come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're listening to these messages. And remember, for information, simply go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.